Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday, May the 24th, 2020. Pastor Bruce here. It's about 9:45 on Sunday morning, and I'm glad to be able to have this service with you this morning. This is our 10th Sunday of our service suspension. How are you all doing? Are you tired of all of this yet? seems that many more people are getting more and more angry and frustrated with this lockdown measure. I'm not sure how or what may be coming down on Ottawa and Toronto in terms of protests and so on, but I will not be surprised to hear of more protests and perhaps an increasing civil disobedience taking place in our province and in our country. We must be sure that when such things happen, that we are not part of such efforts, at least as Christians and as a local church. The Bible still guides us as to what we as believers and the local church are to do. For example, in 1 Peter 2:13-14, we read, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." And then we also have Romans 13:1-2. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." This may be a hard thing to do. We feel like church is being treated unfairly these days. We believe that the church is an essential service for all men, but the powers that be, which the Lord God established for the good and well-being of the society of man, has declared this state of emergency and limited the number of people who may group together, meaning our services are canceled for a time. Let us who know Christ as Savior trust him and his timing in all of this. We need to draw closer to him in the closet, your home, more than ever before, and trust the Lord to give wisdom to our governing leaders and lead them to relax the restrictions against our in-person gatherings, and we pray that that may happen very soon. We'll get there. No problem about that. No worry about that. We'll get there, but all in God's good and perfect timing. There are lots of lessons to be learned in these days and along the way. And let us not, quote, jump the gun, so to speak, and rather wait on the Lord for our reopening. Our church is not closed. We are still a family of God here. We just can't get together yet. But soon, I trust, we will be. Our first job is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and then to walk carefully with him in these days. I'll speak a little bit more on these two passages of Scripture that I've just read, and we'll add a couple more passages in our sermon time in just a little bit. Here's some information for your prayer concerns. Just a couple of things this morning. Number one, perhaps you have already heard, but in case you haven't, Mark Berry's son, Wayne, who we have been praying for many, many months, and have been in sorrow for him and Marg and the rest of the family as he has steadily declined in his health. Well, Wayne passed away last Tuesday, May the 19th. Marg wrote on Wednesday to me and said, "Wayne passed away yesterday." That was Tuesday. And she said, "God is good. He gave Wayne a peace in his heart and a calmness that only he can give, to me as well. there will be a funeral in a week or so. And so we say, praise the Lord and thank you, Lord, for taking Wayne to be with thyself, and that his pain and discomfort are now gone. He is at home with the Lord Jesus. And I trust that the family also has a great sense of relief and comfort and peace in their hearts with what you have done to take Wayne home to be with you. Let us keep praying for God's grace to give strength to Marg and Wayne's wife and family in these days. We found out later in the day that, later on Friday, that a funeral service will be held for Wayne this coming Friday, May the 29th, up in Parry Sound. So let's pray for safety and travel for the family, for a good funeral service. May the name of the Lord be honored in the service that's coming, and may the gospel be preached as well. Secondly, we asked prayer for our neighbors of ours on Silverdale, Jay and Liz Wright, concerning the baby that Liz was carrying and the possible heart problems that they somehow had detected. Well, Liz gave birth last Friday in Toronto to a bouncing baby boy they've named Theodore. The delivery went well, but the baby was having trouble breathing, so they immediately transferred Theodore to Children's Hospital. So we praise the Lord for a safe delivery, and now we are praying for, and I would ask you to pray for this little boy, that his health would improve. The trouble with his breathing is connected to some problems with his little heart. Apparently, as we have been informed, the right side of the heart is working well, but the left side, not so good. The doctors are waiting for the left side to strengthen a little more and hope to do some surgery sometime this week. So please keep the rights and little Theodore in your prayers, if you would. And of course, we continue to remember in our prayers the Armstrongs, Marv and Kathy, others of our church family that are in seniors' homes or shut away in their own homes during these days, praying for an end to this coronavirus trouble and looking to the Lord for getting back together again. So I invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray along with me. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence again this morning, as we do each day, to come before you and to give you our thanks and our praise and our worship, to lay out our praises to you and as well as our petitions. We thank you that even though a lot of things are closed these days, heaven's door is not closed. It is still always open, and we thank you that when we pray as your children that you will hear and that you will answer in accordance to your will, and we thank you for that assurance from your word even today. We would pray particular this morning for the Barry family, for Marg and for Wayne's wife and family, that you would be very, very close to them, that you would give them comfort and peace in their hearts and in their minds. I suspect, Lord, that there is that sense of relief for Wayne, that he is now finally at home with thyself and out of all the pain and discomfort that he has been having. And we would ask for an extra measure of your grace for them as they anticipate the funeral services coming Friday. And so we want to lift them up before you and ask that you would continue to watch over them and bring them comfort in these particular days. And we do thank you that Wayne knew you as Lord and Savior, and that the promise from your word is that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we thank you for taking him home to be with thyself. Secondly, we would pray for the rights for Jay and for Liz and little baby Theodore. We thank you for the safe delivery. We do pray now that you might help this little one in the help for his heart, that things might heal up and begin to work properly for him. We thank you for the doctors and the nurses that are looking out for this family and for little Theodore. We pray that if surgery is absolutely really necessary, that they would have great confidence to know to go in and to do what they can to help this little heart to be better functioning. But we commit him to your care and keeping, knowing, Lord, you can do, you are the great physician. You can heal that little heart without any kind of surgery going on. But perhaps it will be your will to utilize the doctors and their expertise to help bring that heart up to a full working condition. And so we just pray for Jay and Liz and the rest of the kids and the family, that you would be mindful of them, give them grace for strength to endure these days. They are still in Toronto and will be for probably, I think, a week or two. And we would ask that you would just take care of them, watch over them while they are away. And we know that they know you as Lord and Savior and are trusting you with this new little life that you have given to them. And we pray that you would bless them in these days. We also thank you, Lord, for watching over Marv and Kathy, and for your continued help in Marv's life as he fights that cancer. We thank you for good results that we have heard last week, and trust that things are continuing to improve for him. We ask that you'll watch over them in great ways in these days as well. We thank you for looking after our church. Thank you that the building is still intact and in good shape. And thank you for your blessings in that. We pray for our seniors in our church, which is now probably most of us. We do pray that for our folks in seniors' homes and shut in their own homes, that you would continue to bless them, encourage their hearts, and we pray that you'll keep them safe as well. We also ask, Lord, that you would bring an end to this coronavirus. We pray that people might learn the lessons from a plague such as this and be willing to recognize and to acknowledge sin in all of our lives, and in the nations as well. And that we would be willing to repent of our sins and to acknowledge that you are the God of the heavens and the earth, and that we need to trust you for our well-being and for proper eternal blessings as well. And so we just ask that it might be thy will to bring this virus to an end and allow us to reopen church and have services in person again. And we certainly look forward to that day. And in the meantime, I know you're watching over us and keeping us close to thyself. And I pray you'll continue to do that on into the days ahead. We do pray for the Littles, our missionaries of the month, and ask that you'll continue to bless and undertake for them. They are hanging out in Nova Scotia for this little while until borders will open and they'll be able to get back to St. Lucia and to McCoo Baptist Church. We just pray you'll continue to bless them in these days. Well, I know that they are concerned for their own church plant down in McCoo, St. Lucia, and we ask that you would just encourage them and grant them blessings for their church ministry as well. Father, we thank you so much for your open ear to us always, no matter what time of day or night, for any reason, wherever we are, we know we can come to you in prayer. And I trust that all of our folks here at Berean will continue to avail themselves of this wonderful avenue you have for us as your children to communicate with you. And I pray that you'll continue to bless each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, no big announcements this morning. It seems like everything is moving steadily along for us here at Berean. The finances are good. Church building, as we mentioned, is still in good shape. Our two tenants have been working in their spaces through all of this, albeit with fewer workers than normal. Most of Rob's employees are working from their homes. Only the office manager, Brad, has been in the office each day. Ultimate Bath Systems' front office and showroom are still closed, but they are working out in their warehouse each day and doing things that they need to do back there. I haven't heard of any of our folk being sick with the virus, and trusting that the Lord will keep it that way. Now, to encourage your heart this morning, I ask if you would listen to this ministry of music, to this song titled Under Control, sung by the Gold City Quartet. Please have a listen.
Famines and trials in the last day, how they'll sweep through our land. But we have His assurance that through all these trials we'll be led by His mighty hand. Manna from God will come down to restore and to nourish our souls. So through all of your trials and all of your fears, remember God has it under control. Under control.
No. The billows may roll.
God's almighty.
Yes, rejoice in your soul. Our God has got it all under control. I trust that that song has been an encouragement to you. Now for our message this morning, we are now in the 10th week of our societal lockdown. We know that a number of businesses and places have reopened with all kinds of restrictions laid upon them this past weekend. Interestingly, as we think over the last 10 weeks, there are some things never closed down. Walmart never closed, the beer store, the marijuana store, LCBO, they never closed. Many restaurants, albeit only takeout and drive-through, have continued to operate in some measure. Grocery stores, pharmacies. It was a tragedy to hear a number of weeks ago that all elective surgeries were being canceled in the hospitals, but yet abortion clinics were still functioning and babies were still being killed during all of these 10 weeks as well. All of these things were deemed, quote, essential services. But we ask, what about the Church of Jesus Christ? Is it not an essential service? Well, not apparently to the minds of the powers that be. Interestingly enough, Doug Ford, Premier Ford, did tweet out this note last Wednesday, May the 20th. He wrote, quote, in recent weeks, we have all made incredible sacrifices to prioritize health and safety. We recognize the importance of religious gatherings, and we commend our faith leaders for their innovation in providing services while respecting public health guidelines. And then this was attached to it, quote, the decision to suspend in-person services has been difficult. Thank you to all faith leaders for the leadership and support shown to their congregations during this time, end quote. Well, that was nice of him, don't you think, to recognize that religion or church is important, but I guess it's still not an essential service in their minds. It doesn't really help us, does it, when he announced that emergency measures remain until this Friday, May the 29th, and we're still at a max 5 persons in a group. It doesn't really help us practically for as a local church. Interesting, in some of the reading some of the emails from the guys in the Baptist churches across Canada, out in British Columbia, they are planning to actually meet for in-person services this morning out in BC. Now, I understand that British Columbia restricts group gatherings to a maximum of 50 persons. And so, many of the churches out west are planning in-person services for today, of course, with restricted numbers allowed in the services. And you know what? I'd be happy with 50 people here in Ontario. That would be a good number. We would all be able to meet under that guise. But I guess I can't be happy yet because we're still only at 5. And I suspect there will be more announcements and pronouncements during this week and when we come to Friday and see if they're going to extend emergency measures again for another time. We will wait on the Lord and we will trust and see what takes place. Janice and I went to Home Hardware yesterday. I wanted to place an order for some decking material with them. We're planning on building a ramp off Mom's deck so that she would be able to get down to the ground easier than navigating steps. Anyways, we got to the store and there was a lineup outside, everybody 6 feet apart in a line. And we waited for about, I guess, 10 minutes or so to get into the store. It was a really nice day yesterday. The sun was out and shining and warm weather, so it was okay to stand out there for a little bit. The sign when we got up to the door said that they were allowing no more than 10 people in the store and that only one person from a family would be let in. Well, we came up as a couple and the girl at the door asked if we were wanting to come in as a couple, and we said, well, yeah. So then somebody came out of the store, and then we got the girl's attention and told her that if I could go in, I would go in first, and Janice would wait until it was okay for her to go in. So I went in first, and Janice came in a few minutes later. But we did end up at the cashier together to pay for our purchases on one bill. I guess this is going to be the way of things for a while yet, but why can't the church open again? We were hoping that Premier Ford would increase group size this past week, but he did not. He did say the drive-in church services are permissible, as if that is an acceptable means for assembling together. A number of churches are, in fact, doing that. We've heard about the one in Aylmer. There's an Independent Baptist church out in Peterborough that's been doing the same thing. But think about it. You drive to the church parking lot, park in a socially acceptable distance from other cars. Your windows are rolled up. You can't leave your car for any reason. The church building is closed. No one is allowed in, even to use washrooms. You either listen to the pastor preach a sermon by your car radio or through loudspeaker that may be set up. And then you drive out again in a staged, distanced exit. Now, how is that being assembled together in obedience to the Word of God? They say you can wave to your fellow church members as you come and go. No other interaction. Doesn't seem to me to really fit the assembling together requirements. Many churches are doing live streaming and videos. You'll notice that I haven't done any videos. I'm not comfortable doing videos. I don't think you want to see me on video. I don't think you need to see me in order to be blessed by the Word of God. And that's why we do audio recordings. It's just like old-time radio, listening to your radio and messages and things that come over the airwaves. And we do this purposely so you can concentrate on the Word rather than on the man. I may be completely out to lunch on this, but a few pastors and wannabe pastors I've seen on video seem to fit the, quote, come and see me kind of picture. Not all of them are like that, certainly, but some are, unfortunately. But maybe I'm too critical or harsh. I'll just blame it on being isolated for too long. How's that? Anyway, in the last few weeks, we have seen an increase in pastors and churches indicating that they have had enough of this shutdown and are going to have in-person church services again. Some in the States indicating that they were going to open up their churches even today. Now, they are going to limit the number of people in the building. They are only going to open up a part of the building. They will be sanitized and have hand sanitizing stations around the room. They will keep social distancing. No choir, no children's church, no hymn books, no singing, no offering plates being passed, no handshakes or holy hugs. You come in one door, the doors will either be held open for you or propped open so you don't have to touch the handles, and you leave by another door immediately after the service is done, and you leave in stages so you don't conflict with the 2-meter rule of distance. And of course, there will be no congregating in the aisles or hallways. My goodness. What kind of an assembly is that? And all of this, even though the state or the province is still under lockdown. Pastors in the states are claiming their First Amendment rights, and they say they will deal with the consequences after the fact if they are charged or fined for doing what they're doing. And it's interesting that it seems almost to a person. They quote from Acts 5, verse 29, which says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And they claim that this is their justification for opening up services, even if it doesn't comply with the lockdown emergency measures at that point in time. They want to obey God rather than man, meaning the government lockdown. And they also use Hebrews 10:25, which says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And they will use this verse to say, see, God's will is, his word says, we are to assemble. And you're not allowing us to assemble, so we're going to assemble anyways, is the thinking of, it seems, an increasing number of pastors and churches. So I thought that this morning we would take a look at these verses and consider whether they are truly being used properly. So first of all, we'll start off in Acts chapter 5. If you want to take your Bible and turn to Acts 5, we're going to read a few verses in the context this morning. I'll start you at verse 12 in Acts chapter 5. Here we read, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. You can see in the context of this passage that the Apostle Peter and the other apostles with him were ministering and preaching to the multitudes in Solomon's porch in the temple area. They were preaching the Lord Jesus. They were preaching the gospel of Christ. They were healing everyone who came to them. We find that in verses 12 through 16. Then, we're told, the high priest and the Sadducees, high priests were of that sect, the Sadducees sect, they were filled with indignation and had the apostles arrested and put in the common prison. Now, please notice, It wasn't the Roman government that was then in power over the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. It wasn't the Roman governing authority that put them in prison. It was the Jewish religious leaders that did that. Now, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought the apostles out and sent them back to the temple to speak to the people in, according to verse 20, all the words of this life. What life? This life in Christ. The life of the Lord Jesus, I suspect, would be the basis for any of the things that they would teach and preach. All the words of this life. Trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, walking in faith, doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. All of those things, the angel told them, you go back there and you continue doing that. And when the officers of the high priest and the Sadducees came in the morning, the apostles were not found in the prison. But they did find them in the temple, teaching the people, in verse 25. The Jewish officers then brought the apostles before the Jewish council. And did you notice that they brought them without violence in verse 26? Because they feared the people, lest they, that is the officers, captain with the officers and others who were taking the apostles, lest they should have been stoned. They were fearful of their lives. And so they brought the apostles before the Jewish council. Probably the Sanhedrin. The high priest said to them when they arrived, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? What name? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to teach in his name means to teach about him and the things that he had done, who he was in his character, his incarnation, virgin birth, sinless life, his sacrificial death on the cross for the sins of the whole world, dying for our sins, his burial, his resurrection from the dead on the third day, his ascension back into heaven, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were to, the high priest said, didn't we command you not to teach in this name? That at the name of Jesus, people need to trust him in order to be saved from their sins. There's no other name under heaven given among men, Acts 4 verse 12 says, given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the apostles were to continue to teach, and the priest told them, don't do it. But the Spirit of God says, you go and do it, that angel that released them. The high priest continued to say, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood, that's Jesus' blood, upon us, in verse 28. So it was the religious council, probably as we said, the Sanhedrin, that commanded the apostles not to teach about Jesus Christ. Their statement about the apostles intending to bring, quote, this man's, obviously Jesus' blood upon us, is interesting in light of what the Jews said to Pilate when they were calling for the crucifixion of Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 25. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. He was going to let him go. But the people cried out the more against Jesus. And he said, what do you want me to do? Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate took a bowl, washed his hands, and said, I am innocent of this blood. And in Matthew 27:25, we read, then answered all the people, that is, the people of Israel, along with the high priests and all the ruling elders, all the people, and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Well, how quickly mankind is prone to forget the things that he says, eh? They were accusing the apostles of intending to bring Jesus' blood upon them, accusing them of it. And that's exactly what religious leaders and others who were there in that day, exactly what they said, his blood be upon us. And so the high priest, the Sadducees, the council of the Jews were commanding the apostles not to preach about Jesus. Wasn't the Roman government involved in this, not the governing authority. The issue was telling the apostles what they could not preach about. And in that context, the Apostle Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The men here referring to the Jewish council. It seems to me that using this verse against the shutting down of church services by the government for health and safety reasons is really an abuse of this scripture text. And it's not valid for the context that we are in today. And it should not be used to argue for having church services because God says that we are to assemble together. The government is not telling us what we cannot preach about. It's just closing down services for a while for the sake of stopping the spread of the coronavirus. So what should we do? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. And the other verse that is constantly brought to bear in this issue of church services and being in-person services is Hebrews 10:25, which says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The argument goes something like this. God wants us to assemble, and the government is not allowing us to do that. Therefore, we need to meet in person, notwithstanding what the government says, because God's wants us to assemble. But let me read for you this verse in context. And it's rather a long context, but we're going to read it anyways. So take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to begin in verse 19. The Apostle Paul, I believe it was the Apostle Paul who penned this book of Hebrews. Not everybody's opinion that he did, but I believe he is the one who penned these words. He was encouraging his readers to maintain their faith in Christ. So let's have a listen to what Paul writes here, beginning in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. And now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So here we find in this passage, that's a long context, but it's important to read and to see all of those places. Let me just comment a few things. Paul was encouraging his readers to maintain their faith in Christ, to hold fast the profession of their faith without wavering, trusting to the promise of Christ who is ever faithful to his word in verse 23. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together was just part of that overall encouragement. It would appear that some were thinking about giving up the whole Christian thing and not bothering to join together with other Christians anymore. There was great pressure from the Jewish sectors for Christians to give up their faith, great persecution. And so some were in the manner or the habit of not assembling anymore. And Paul sought to encourage them to continue. In verses 26 down through 37, Paul even equates the not assembling with willful sin in verse 26. He urges them not to cast away their confidence or assurance, but to have patience or endurance to do the will of God. What was the will of God? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And then to receive the promise in verses 35 and 36. And take note of the last two verses once again. Look at verse 38 and 39. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You understand that this verse has, in verse 25, has nothing to do with the government issuing emergency measures to close church services, and that by not assembling together in light of that, we are somehow not obeying God's word. This verse in verse 25 was directed to those who were purposely staying away from church. And Paul was encouraging them to come back. They were thinking about forsaking the church, forsaking Christ, drawing back and away from him. That would be sin if they would do so. And Paul doesn't want them to do that and encourages them to come together. So once again, the use of Hebrews 10:25 in our present circumstance is not what the verse is saying. It is one who is willfully refusing to be in the church assembly. That's one thing. But being closed for health and safety measures, it's not even in the same context. Let us be sure that we keep to the proper use of God's word. And let me also submit this for your consideration. What does it even mean to assemble in Hebrews 10:25? What constitutes assembling? Is it just a matter of sitting inside the church sanctuary and not being able to talk to anybody, and then as soon as the pastor says amen, everybody's out the door in a sequential manner, of course? What constitutes assembling? What does that mean? Let me suggest this. To assemble is for the fellowship of the saints. For fellowship of the saints, to be able to rejoice in that which we share together with God through the Holy Spirit and our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we hold to in common, our eternal life and the gift of life. To assemble is for the ministry of encouragement and edification by each one for the other. Look at verse 24 of Hebrews 10. This is in the same context of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Paul says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That means that to provoke here is to encourage, to help and assist each other to love and to do good works. The verse really almost is like a getting in your face kind of situation to help each one do what we are supposed to be doing as believers. So to assemble means to have ministry of encouragement and edification by each one for the other. To assemble is for the worship of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. It is for singing praises to his name. It involves the holy kiss or handshake or hug. It is a time for prayer, you're part of the congregation. All of those things are to be seen in that word, assemble together. Many churches have opted for drive-in services as a means to assemble. But how does that facilitate the expression of what assembling is for, what it's all about? Even reduced numbers to fit in with government regulations is understandable, but to just come in, sit, and then leave without any stopping to chat with others seems to me to fall short of what assembling really is all about in the Bible. I know these are trying times and strange days, and we are all navigating the course as best that we can. But there is one more thing to consider here before we leave this morning. We mentioned two passages at the beginning of the service, Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, and 1 Peter 2, verses 11 through 17. You can go back and reread those verses for yourself. We talk about obeying God and his word, right? We obey God rather than men. We're told to assemble because that's what God wants us to do. So we talk about obeying God and his word, but it's not too often stated that we are to be subject to the powers that be, the governing powers, human government. While human government still is not perfect, it's still an institution of God's, along with the institution of the church. And it is our responsibility to submit to every ordinance of man, according to 1 Peter 2:15, the king or premier or prime minister, if you want, today, governors, and to others in government. And why do we do that? Well, because it is the will of God, 1 Peter 2:15. Doesn't mean that everything that the government does is right, honorable, or helpful. In fact, there are a number of things in our Canadian situation, our Canadian government, that are completely ungodly and against the word of God. But nonetheless, we are told to submit to every ordinance of man, to the king, to governors, to others in government, because this is the will of God. If we protest against the government, we are in disobedience to the will of God, it seems to me. Besides consider the poor testimony that we will have for the Lord Jesus before those powers if we're coming out and getting mad and angry and taking on civil disobedience. As believers and as a local church, we ought not to do that. I'd rather submit to the governing authorities who are acting for the well-being of our society at this particular point in time. I know that there are other issues that are probably in play as well through all of this, political power grabs and trying to get your wishes and your way over the people without having to talk about it in Parliament. All those kinds of things, political power grabs, are clearly evident by some in these times. But those who abuse their authority as governing officials will give account to the Lord for what they do. Our biblical responsibility is to submit to their direction, and especially so in emergency situations. To disobey the powers that be because you want to obey God, not man, may just evidence, it seems to me, a lack of trust in the Lord Jesus. Is he not in control? Yes, of course, Christ is in control. Should we not trust him in this circumstance in which we are today? Yes, of course, we should. Is not God's timing perfect? Absolutely, yes, it always is. I believe God will set things aright and get us back together again in his time by his word. We should wait on the Lord. And we should wait on the Lord for him to act on our behalf. That's where we are to land, it seems to me. And then just think what a wonderful day that will be when we can be together in person, assembling together, shaking hands and giving hugs, and spend as much time as we want chatting and ministering to one another. Let's hold that day in our hearts. That day, I think, is soon to come for us here in Ontario. Let us serve the Lord as we are able within the restrictions that are upon us for this temporal time period. God knows our heart and our great desire to be together. Let us wait on the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your watchful care over us. Thank you for the assurance from your word that you indeed are in control, even of these trying circumstances that we are in today with the COVID-19 pandemic and the shutting down of churches and not being able to assemble in-house. We understand all of this is for the well-being, the health and safety of the citizens of this province and our country, indeed of the world. We may agree or disagree that shutting down everything is not the right way to do this, to alleviate the issues of the virus. But be that as it may, we are under emergency rules at the moment, and we just need to do that which is right in your sight as it relates to our government. I thank you that you have informed us in your word how we ought to act, that we need to subject ourselves to the ordinance of men and to trust you through all of this. And I pray that you would, I know the Lord that you are keeping us all close to thyself, and I trust that each one of us will also remain close with thyself. And as we look forward to the day when we will be able to assemble together, I pray the anticipation of that day will be a great thing in our hearts and in our minds from now until that day arrives. Help us to always trust in you and to trust in your timing in all of this. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, beloved, I hope I haven't upset you too much this morning with this message. I encourage us all to trust the Lord and to wait upon him. I know that circumstances and things that are happening in our world around the globe today because of this pandemic also seems to be leading into the one world government and the one world religion, to the unveiling of the Antichrist who will give leadership to this entire world. I understand all of that. Wasn't my focus this morning on the message. We'll talk more about that particular scenario at another time. But I just want to encourage us all to trust the Lord, to wait upon him. God is in control. He will bring us through this frustrating time to greater things ahead. Be sure that you are saved and listening for the trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel calling us up to meet the Lord in the air. Remember, we are to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus in the days in which we live here and in the places where we are as well. Well, that's it for this morning. God bless you all. We are dismissed.